Mahabharata, Chapter 27. Bhima meets Hanuman. The Pandavas remained in Bhadrika Ashram for 6 days and nights. On the seventh day, a wind blew up from the northeast, carrying a single celestial lotus. The flower fell at Draupadi's feet. The princess looked in wonder at the golden thousand-petaled flower. Its fragrance delighted her mind, and she was charmed by its beauty. She had never seen anything like it, and she showed it to Bhima. "Just behold this flower, O mighty armed one. Have you ever seen anything so wonderful? It gladdens my heart, and I desire to give it to you, Yudhisthir. Please discover where it came from, and bring others, so that we may take them back to our hermitage in Kamyaka." Draupadi looked at Bhima with her dark eyes, which were covered with long curling lashes. Feeling her gaze upon him, Bhima felt commanded. He was overjoyed at the opportunity to do something for her pleasure. She had suffered so much over the past years. The gentle princess was not suited to forest life, and she still felt the agony of the insults she had suffered in Hastinapur. And now she suffered even more due to Arjuna's absence. He had always been her favorite among the Pandavas. Bhima said, "It will be done. O blessed lady, you will see me return with an armful of these golden flowers." Bhima faced the wind and began to climb the mountain. He traveled swiftly, resembling a furious elephant crashing through the forest. All creatures fled away in fear as he raced ahead, thinking only of Draupadi. The region through which Bhima passed became increasingly beautiful. Not only were the trees in full bloom, but the rocks were black stone inlaid with gems. It seemed to Bhima as if the goddess Earth had raised her arm, adorned with sparkling ornaments in the form of this mountain. Bhima felt a cool breeze fanning his body, and his energy increased. On all sides he saw numerous Gandharvas and Siddhas sporting on the mountain slopes with their consorts, the beautiful celestial maidens turning their heads sideways to look at the Pandava as he rushed past. Bhima scoured the mountainside as he ran, looking everywhere for lotuses, but he did not find the flowers. He continued higher into the mountain, roaring with exultation at his own strength and power. Hearing the tremendous noise, animals at a distance became afraid. The mountain tigers left their dens and ran about. Some of them tried to attack Bhima, but he slapped them aside as he ran. He lifted elephants and tossed them at other elephants, clearing his path. Bhima then came to a plantain forest. He entered it with force, and he broke some of the tall trees by hitting against them with his arms and thighs. He was still shouting, and his roars now mixed with the terrified cries of the forest animals. The tumult he created carried for miles. Suddenly, Bhima noticed aquatic birds rising into the air not far off, frightened by the noise. Realizing that there must be water nearby, and that lotuses grow on water, he made his way toward the birds. Soon he saw a delightful lake. The Pandava went down to the water, which was adorned by innumerable lotuses and lilies. He dived in and swam about like a maddened elephant. Refreshed and enlivened, he rose from the water and let out a terrific blast from his conch shell. Examining the lotuses, however, he realized that they were not the same as the one Draupadi had desired. He set off up the mountain again, following a path leading up from the lake. He heard a loud noise just ahead of him. The sound echoed all around the mountain and made Bhima's hair stand on end. He ran forward to see what could have made such a noise, and he found a huge monkey lying across the path, lashing the ground with its long tail and making the earth tremble. The monkey was effulgent and resembled a blazing hill of copper. He had broad shoulders and a slender waist. His face shone like the full moon, and behind his thin lips, Bhima could see sharp pearl-white teeth. Seeing him obstructing his path like a hill, Bhima roared at him. The monkey, however, did not seem impressed. He slowly opened his reddish eyes and looked lazily at Bhima. "Why have you awakened me? I am ill and deserve your kindness. Indeed, as a human, you should know the codes of religion and show kindness to all lower creatures. O hero, it seems you do not know virtue, because you have come here forcefully, destroying animals on your way. Who are you? Where are you going? Do you not know that you cannot proceed further? This path leads to heaven, and men cannot access it. Only those who are successful in ascetic practices can go to the celestial regions. Therefore, give up your quest and turn back. Or rest here a while and partake of the sweet fruits and cool water. O foremost of men, do not try to force your way past and thus die for nothing." Intrigued, Bhima responded politely, "Who are you, O respectable one? Why are you in the form of a monkey?" "I myself belong to the royal order. I am a descendant of Kuru and the son of King Pandu. I was born in the Lunar Dynasty from the union of Kunti and Vayu. My name is Bhima. I am simply a monkey. I shall not allow you to pass. Turn back now. Do not meet with destruction." Bhima felt his anger rising. "Who was this ape?" "O monkey, I do not ask that you give me permission, nor am I interested to hear your thoughts about my destruction. Stand aside. Do not experience grief at my hands." The monkey, still speaking in a lazy voice, said, "I am ill and cannot move. If you must pass me, then step over my body." Bhima shook his head. "How can I step over you when I know that the all-pervading Supersoul, the Lord of all, resides in your heart as he does in the hearts of every being? I cannot disregard him." Bhima looked closely at the monkey and thought of the great Hanuman, Lord Rama's devoted servant. Could this be him? But that monkey had lived in a long past age. How could he still be alive? That would mean that he was now almost 1,000,000 years old. No, it was impossible. Bhima continued, "Had I not been aware of the Supersoul, I would have leapt over you as well as the entire mountain, even as Hanuman leapt across the ocean." The monkey turned toward Bhima and opened his eyes wide. "Who is this Hanuman who leapt over the ocean? Tell me if you can." "He was my brother, begotten by the wind god, and endowed with intelligence and strength. He was the best of monkeys, and he is celebrated in the Ramayana. For the sake of Rama's wife, Sita, he leapt 100 yojanas over the sea to Lanka. I am equal to him in strength and prowess, and am thus able to chastise you. Arise, O monkey, and give way. Otherwise I shall send you to Yamaraja's abode." The monkey remained calm. "I have grown old and cannot move. Please move my tail and make your way past." Bhima moved toward the monkey. This was surely not Hanuman, for Hanuman's power was limitless. This monkey was simply some insolent and powerless being who deserved to be punished for obstructing his path and refusing to move. Perhaps he was even a Rakshasa, assuming a disguise and waiting for a chance to attack. Bhima decided to take him by the tail and whirl him around till he died. The Pandava bent over and carelessly took hold of the monkey's tail with his left hand. To his surprise, he found that he could not budge the tail. Placing both hands firmly around the monkey's tail, Bhima pulled hard. Still, it could not be moved. Bhima struggled with all his strength. His face was contracted, and he was covered with perspiration, and his eyes rolled. Despite his efforts, however, Bhima could not shift it at all. The Pandava realized that this was not an ordinary monkey, or even a demon as he had supposed. Bowing his head in shame, he stood before the creature with joined palms and said, "Forgive me my harsh words. Are you a Siddha, a Gandharva, or a god? I am curious. Who are you in the shape of a monkey? I seek your refuge and ask you in the mood of a disciple. If it is no secret, then please tell me. The monkey sat up. O chastiser of enemies, as you are curious, I shall tell you. Know me to be the son of that life of the universe, Vayu, born in the womb of Keshari. I am the monkey named Hanuman, whom you mentioned earlier. As Bhima listened in amazement, Hanuman told him in brief the famous history of the Ramayana, which the Pandava already knew well. When Hanuman finished speaking, tears fell from Bhima's eyes as he fell to the ground to offer his obeisances. Rising up, he spoke joyfully to the monkey chief. No one is more fortunate than me, for I have seen my famous and powerful brother. O great one, I have only one desire. Please show me the form with which you jumped over the ocean. I shall then have full faith in your words. Hanuman replied, That form cannot be seen by you or anyone else. When I leapt over the ocean, things were quite different than they are now. It was a different age, and everything was greater. Now that Kali Yuga is about to begin, all things have diminished. I can no longer display that gigantic form, because every being must obey the dictates of time, and I am no exception. Therefore, please do not ask me to reveal that form. Hearing Hanuman speak, Bhima became curious to learn more from his ancient brother. Please tell me, O Hanuman, what are the different manners and customs of each age? You have been alive almost since the first age. How have people pursued religion, economic development, pleasure, and liberation in each of the yugas? Hanuman began with Satya Yuga. At that time, every living being was self-realized and devoted to the Supreme Lord's service. With the onset of each successive age, however, everything diminishes and becomes more degraded. Virtue, which was fully manifest in the first age, was diminished by a quarter in each successive age. By now, Hanuman explained, virtue and religion were three-quarters lost. By the end of Kali Yuga, it will have disappeared entirely. Hanuman continued, As the ages progress and virtue diminishes, so the natures and abilities of men undergo diminishment. Everything becomes inauspicious. Even the performance of religious acts in this last age produces contrary results. How then can I show the form with which I leapt over the great ocean? And even if I could, why should a wise man such as yourself ask to see something so unnecessary? But Bhima was insistent. He sensed that Hanuman was able to show him his most powerful form, despite his reluctance. The Pandava greatly desired to see it, and he declared that he would not leave until he was satisfied. At last the monkey chief relented. Telling Bhima to stand back, Hanuman rose up from his sitting place and expanded his body to massive proportions. He covered all sides and towered above Bhima, looking like a second Vindhya mountain. In a voice which resounded through the forest, he spoke to the awestruck Pandava. O Bhima, this is the extent to which you will be able to see my form. I could go on expanding myself almost without limit. My size and power increase amid foes according to their strength. Rama's devoted servants can never be overcome by any enemy. Bhima felt his hair standing erect. Dropping to his knees, he said, O Lord, O greatly mighty one, I have seen your form to my satisfaction. You resemble the Mainaka mountain. As you are able to show such power, how was it that Rama had to exert himself to fight with Ravana? With you by his side, what need was there for him to do battle with the Rakshasa? It seems to me that you could have immediately and single-handedly crushed Lanka with all its warriors, elephants, and chariots. Hanuman returned to his normal side and replied solemnly, O mighty-armed descendant of Bharata, it is exactly as you say. That wretch Ravana was no match for me, but if I had slain him, the glory of Dasarath's son would have been obscured. By killing the king of the demons and rescuing Sita, my lord Rama has established his fame and glory among men." Hanuman then told Bhima to go back to his brothers. Bhima explained that he first had to find the source of the thousand-petaled lotuses, and Hanuman showed him the way to the forest where they grew. There is the path which leads to the Sogandika forest, and there you will see Kuvera's gardens, which are guarded by the Yakshas and Rakshasas. In a great lake lie the flowers which you seek for your wife. Hanuman came forward and embraced Bhima with affection. He briefly instructed him in the science of kingship and then said, "O Bhima, having once again come in contact with a human, I have felt in my mind the presence of my lord Ram, who is Vishnu incarnate, and who is the blazing sun to the lotus Sita and to the darkness called Ravana. Therefore I wish to give you a boon. Ask of me whatever you desire. If you wish, I shall go to Hastinapur and kill Dhritarashtra's insignificant sons and grind their city to powder. Or I can bind Duryodhan and bring him here. Tell me, what can I do for you?" Bhima replied that he felt assured of success if Hanuman would simply lend his support and blessings. Even his presence on the battlefield would guarantee victory. Hanuman replied, "When you rush forward for the fight, sending forth lion-like roars, I will add my roars to yours. Remaining on the flagstaff of Arjuna's chariot, I will strike fear into the hearts of your foes by my terrific yells." After embracing his brother once more, Hanuman told him to depart for Sogandika. Seeing the glint in Bhima's impetuous eyes as he made ready to leave, Hanuman held him by the arms and said, "Do not take the flowers forcefully, child. The celestials should always be respected. In this way they will bestow their blessings upon you. As a Kshatriya, you should perform your duty to protect other living beings humbly and keep your passions under control. Go in peace. I bid you farewell." Hanuman disappeared, and Bhima headed for Sogandika. As he walked, he reflected on the majestic form Hanuman had showed him. Who could imagine such a sight, either on heaven or on earth? Bhima also remembered Rama's glories and the great battle he had fought for Sita with Hanuman's help. Millions of Rakshasas had been slain. Bhima knew a similar fight awaited the Pandavas. Again, the all-powerful Lord, the original Supreme Person, would take part in the fight. The world would then be rid of unwanted elements. Duryodhan and his brothers were no better than the sinful Rakshasas which Krishna had destroyed as Lord Ram. How could they rule the world? Surely it was the Lord's desire that they be annihilated. Soon Bhima's mind again drifted to his surroundings. He was moving swiftly again, but the beauty of the woodlands, groves, orchards, lakes, and rivers was not lost upon him. Still, the cool breeze carried the captivating fragrance from the blossoming trees. Herds of wild elephants roved about like masses of clouds, while buffaloes, bears, leopards, and deer moved here and there. Bhima pressed on. Just after noon, he had at last arrived in the Sogandika region. There he saw the lake filled with fresh golden lotuses, exactly like the one that had blown to Draupadi's feet. Swans swam upon the lake, and other water birds mingled with them, all making delightful sounds. The lake seemed to be fed by mountain springs that fed into it in cascades that sparkled in the sun. A canopy of green and golden trees, which swayed gently in the breeze, provided shade along the sandy lakeshore. Heaps of precious stones lay here and there. Along with the thousand-petaled lotuses, other charming flowers of a dark blue hue grew on stalks made of vaidurya gems. Bhima's mind was stolen by their beauty. but the thousands of yakshas and rakshasa guards Kuvera had deployed to protect his lake saw Bhima arrive. They moved toward him, and their leader shouted, "Who are you, O effulgent one? Why have you come here clad in deerskin, yet bearing weapons?" "We are the Krodavasas, guardians of this lake."
"I am Bhimasen, Pandu's son. I have come with my elder brother Dharmaraj to Bhadrika Ashram.
There, too, is my dear wife Draupadi." The breeze brought to her an excellent Sogandika lotus, and she asked me to bring her more. "O night rangers, I have thus come here in order to satisfy that lady of faultless features, for her wish is always my order." The Rakshasa placed his spear on the ground and replied, "O foremost of men, this place is Kuvera's favorite playground. Humans may not sport here, nor may they take away the flowers and fruits. Only the celestials are permitted to use this lake. Others who try, disregarding the Lord of Wealth, certainly meet destruction. As you desire to take away the lotuses belonging to Kuvera without his permission, how can you say that you are Dharmaraj's brother? Do not perform an irreligious act. First ask Kuvera's permission, and then you may enter the lake." Bhima did not care for the warning. He had little regard for Rakshasas, and was certainly not going to be told what to do by them. Completely forgetting Hanuman's admonishment, he placed his hand on his mace and boomed out, "O Rakshasas, I do not see the illustrious Kuvera here, and even if I did, I would not pray for these flowers. It is not the duty of Kshatriyas to beg. In any event, this lake has sprung up on the mountain breast and belongs to everyone. Kuvera did not make it, nor did he create the lotuses. Why then should I ask his permission?" Having said this, Bhima plunged into the lake and began to gather the lotuses. The Krodavasas advanced, shouting at him to desist. Bhima ignored them. As far as he was concerned, the lotuses were the property of their creator, God, not any lesser god. Bhima felt he had as much right to them as did Kuvera. The Pandava knew that Draupadi would first offer them to the Lord before giving them to anyone else. Seeing Bhima taking the flowers despite their warnings, the guards charged, "Seize him! Cut him up! Bind him!" The Rakshasas entered the shallow waters, and Bhima stood to receive them. Taking hold of his mace, inlaid with gold and resembling the mace that Yamaraj carries, Bhima shouted back, "Stand and fight!" The guards surrounded Bhima. Bhima whirled his mace and met the advancing Rakshasas with blows. Heroic and courageous, Vayu's son was devoted to virtue and truth, and was thus incapable of being vanquished by any enemy through prowess. He killed the Krodavasas by the hundreds, beginning with the foremost among them. Many of them fell into the water, their arms and legs broken. Bhima was a furious whirlwind now. The Rakshasas could hardly look at him as he fought. They began to flee in fear, taking to the skies. Seeing the guards retreating, Bhima lowered his mace and continued to gather lotuses. He drank the lake's clear water, which tasted like celestial nectar, and which restored his energy and strength. As he picked the lotuses, he presented them mentally to Draupadi. The Krodavasas ran back in terror to Kuvera and told him what had happened. The god only smiled and said, "Let Bhima take as many lotuses as he likes for Draupadi. I already knew he would be coming." Hearing their master's words, the guards returned to the lake and saw Bhima sporting alone in its waters with a number of lotuses lying near him on the bank. They watched him in silence, keeping a safe distance.